We will continue from where we left the last time on the book of 1 Thessalonians. In my last sermon, we covered from verses 19 to 20 or 17 to 20, and Paul was talking about how he abruptly had to move away from them. There was a huge chaos in Thessalonica, and I would like to remind you what was the background behind it. And then we will see what has been given to us in chapter 3 before we focus on the given verses for this morning. As we know that Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica, where they were ministering among the brethren, especially Paul went into the synagogue for at least three Sabbath days to be more correct, and he was ministering to the Jews. He was trying to impress upon them that Christ is the one that the Old Testament is talking about, and Christ must come and die for our sins and to be raised from the dead. He said, Jesus, I am telling you about, Paul said, this Jesus I'm telling you about is the Christ, is the Messiah that you have been waiting for. Many Jews were convinced and joined Paul and Silas, along with many of the Greeks, the Gentiles who are God-fearers. They too were convinced by the teachings of Paul. Many prominent women also came to the Lord. Unfortunately, some Jews became very jealous and they gotten some, bad characters from the marketplace and created havoc in the city. They went to Jason's house, one of the believers, looking for Paul and Silas, but they were not there, so they dragged Jason out and brought him before the city leaders. And they said, these people have made trouble everywhere in the world, and now they are causing trouble in our city here. They went on to say that these people are teaching things against Caesar. And they also highlighted that they are claiming there is another king. And these are very, very serious charges. Treason, that you may say, that they are committing here. And of course, the city leaders were very upset, and they had to deal with Jason. In the meantime, Paul had to be let off, and he went away. But Timothy and Silas remained for a while, and later on, they joined Paul as well. So this is what happened. And then Paul said in chapter 2, verse 18, Satan hindered us. And I was trying to tell you that in the last sermon, how the Lord's work is hindered by these spiritual forces. All right. When we are engaged in the Lord's work, the devil and his forces are equally engaged, and they will do anything to hinder, to slow down, or to dismantle the progress that we would realize by the grace of God in some of these mission fields. And this is what happened here. Let us now focus on this morning's passage. It's given in 1 Thessalonians. This is the passage that I am assigned to look at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. Allow me to read. Night and day, Paul is saying, night and day praying exceedingly or intensely that we might see you face to face and might perfect or top up or fill up that which is lacking in your faith. Verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. They are waiting, and despite all the challenges, difficulties, obstacles, they are waiting on the Lord, that the Lord will make it possible for Paul to return again to Thessalonica to minister to the Christian converts and others. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. You would notice that we jumped all the way from the beginning of chapter 3 to chapter 11, and it only would do justice if I explain what happened in the beginning part of chapter 3. The beginning part of chapter 3, Paul highlighted that he could not contain himself. He just cannot stay on, hang on. He needs to meet them face to face. That it is like flood water, you know, held up by some dam like that. You know, the dam is going to break loose, and emotionally, Paul is unable to hold back. So Paul highlighted that he could not contain himself, so he sent his co-worker Timothy to find out how the Christians were doing in Thessalonica. And in verse 2, it talks about that. And I think he rightfully feels very frightened about the new converts, frightened about the well-being of the Christians. And he wants to know whether they are still surviving, whether they are still continuing in the faith, or have they abandoned the faith. What about the new converts? Are they hanging on? What kind of challenges are they facing? Are there false teachers coming in at this point of time and unravel the minds of the believers? So a lot of anxiety Paul was, carrying in his heart, because his ministry with them prematurely broken because of the riot in the city. So he could not contain any further. He wants to know exactly what is happening, and he told his fellow servant Timothy, I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to go there and you're going to bring back report so that I know how they are doing, and of course so that Paul can pray for them more meaningfully and accurately. He sent Timothy to exhort them in faith, and no one spiritually become victim of the situation over there. He reminded them beforehand that following Christ, I'm talking about the Thessalonians, Paul reminded the Thessalonians even beforehand, following the Lord Jesus Christ will result in affliction. One must be prepared to suffer for the faith, which he himself already suffering because of what happened in Thessalonica. He was afraid the tempter, all right? He talks about the tempter, that he would come and he would cause trouble. In verse 5, he said, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, he said, I could not contain myself, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, he is talking about the devil again, which he did in verse 18 of chapter 2, Satan hindered us, and over here he calls Satan as the tempter. He will come in to distract or destroy your faith in Christ Jesus. But praise the Lord, Timothy brought back a glowing report of their walk in the Lord. They are remaining fervent in their faith, despite all the persecution and all the unrest. It was such an amazing good news to Paul. He was delighted to know that the Thessalonians are longing to see Paul as well. Not only Paul is excited to see the Thessalonians are excited to look at Paul, to meet up with Paul, to fellowship with Paul. And Paul was so very delighted over this. Paul, in a time of predicament, he prayed intensely day and night for the Thessalonian Christians in three areas of their lives. All right? We too can consider these aspects as we are going through our own predicament under this COVID-19 situation. There are three points I would like to highlight here for all of us to take note. All right, three points to consider. The first one, grow in fellowship. All right, grow in fellowship. In any predicament that you and I can be coming under, whether it's a personal crisis, family crisis, national crisis, or global crisis like what we are going through, Paul is addressing a crisis that the Christians were going through in Thessalonica, and he's highlighting at least three areas they need to pay attention in order to survive this time of their lives. First, grow in fellowship. And second, grow in the Word. Grow in the Word. It is so very crucial. It is not just socializing. It is not just patting on one another's back. It is not just saying words of encouragement. But where is the source that you're going to derive this strength and grace and words to part to another brother who is under persecution, who is under fear, who is paying a price for his faith? You need the Word. And he said, grow in the Word. And the third one is grow in love. This is a time where suspicion persists, and you do not know who is for you and who is against you. And also, this is a time you tend to look more inwardly than towards others. And Paul says, grow in love, not just grow somewhat in love, but abounding in love for all, for your brethren and for every man. So this is the long and short of what he's trying to do in this exhortation to the Thessalonians, because the devil seeks, in a crisis period, the devil seeks to shrink our fellowship, diminish our appetite for the Word, lessen our love for others. We become self-focused. So Paul certainly feels that in a time like this, in a difficult times of our lives, Satan takes advantage of this adverse circumstances and turn it against us. And then if we are not careful, we can be taken down. Let us now look at the first point. All right. Grow in fellowship. I'm focusing on verse 10. Verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. Paul is so very interested, very keen, very intensely keen that he could have fellowship with the brethren. Imagine the danger Christians were facing during the time in Thessalonica. There was a religious riot. Brother Jason was targeted, dragged out of his house, falsely charged before the city leaders. He was charged as a troublemaker, not only in Thessalonica, but everywhere these Christians went. They are doing things against Emperor Caesar. They claim that there is another king that is coming, and created tremendous tension between the leaders, the civil leaders, and this religious group, the Christians. The city leaders were obviously very, very unhappy. Surely fear will grip all Christians in the city. They are not sure who they are talking to. Is the person also a Christian or an imposter seeking to arrest you? Minimal contact is the advisable approach. Remember when the Lord was arrested, tried, and crucified, what happened to the disciples? They dispersed and went into hiding, fearing for their life and their loved ones' safety. This is a very natural reaction in the face of danger and threats. Brethren, look at us now under this COVID pandemic crisis. The key point of safety is to stay away from one another, minimize contact and gathering, lest we become infected by the virus, which can be life-threatening for us and for others. Praise and thank God, unlike the situation in Thessalonica, ours is but a viral-related threat and not a religious persecution. Praise and thank God, unlike Paul's time, we live in a technologically advanced and interconnected world. Through various e-platforms like Skype, Google Meet, Zoom, WhatsApp, videos, just to name a few, we could see each other face to face. This was not the case in the time of Paul. In order to be face to face, you need to be physically there. Today, we are so blessed. Even though we are not meeting, gathering in 202 Pandan Gardens, But we can see each other face to face, right in our home's comfort, and at no cost, almost zero cost, and in real time, without disruption, lagging, and all that. It is a very rich quality communication technologically as well as in the means of fellowship. So, even though we may be separated, but the church is seeking every way possible that we stay connected. We need not be physically there with a person, but we can be in touch, encourage one another, update one another with the latest. Brethren, in our present situation, though all physical church meetings and activities are cancelled, we have been keeping in touch with one another through electronic means. We send encouraging Bible verses, quotes, devotions, etc. We inquire each other's well-being, we chat with our fingers, we call and talk at length, and we hold meetings and classes via Zoom and other means. Let us keep this going. Paul was praying intensely for the well-being of the believers. We should also develop our bonds and keep our connections warm and cordial. It's very important. I wonder how we are communicating at this time with one another. Are we encouraging or are we discouraging people? All right, let us communicate towards the edification of each other. All right, minimize squabbles, minimize quarrels, minimize any misunderstanding. Let us be Christ-focused. Let us say something that would uplift a person. Remember what we are going through. There are people who possibly going to lose their jobs. The children might be at the verge of losing their jobs. And look at our limitations. Not everybody has a car. Not everybody can travel comfortably to places to get what they want. And they have to live with the limitations. And people, you can't even visit your own loved ones. So with all these constraints, think of the elderly people. They are shut where they are. And we must communicate one way or the other. We thank God that the JAM ministry, the AF, all other fellowship groups are connected one way or the other through electronic means, possibly by WhatsApp. Right? Let us keep the fellowship going. We need to grow in fellowship. We cannot be disconnected for an entire period because of this restraints that has been placed to us, which were very, very necessary. We need to recognize this, obey it, uphold it, and submit to the regulations that has been placed so that we can come out of this, this predicament. Definitely, we need to cooperate. But at the same time, we don't have to pawn away our fellowship and our connection with one another, whether it's with the church leaders or whether with the leaders with the members or members with members. Let us pay attention to this area and let us be reminded what the Word of God says in 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell, to be connected electronically together in unity. All right, please connect each other for the sake of unity and do not cause stress. Sometimes in your communication, you seem to be bringing inevitably some level of stress to each other instead of bringing comfort and joy. Paul also highlighted in verses 10 and 11 that we need to grow in the Word. We need to grow in the Word. I really pray that during this period where we don't have fellowship meetings and we don't have Bible studies, we don't have a regular Sunday worship in the traditional way, will not create a vacuum in us for the Word of God. It's very important for all of us to maintain daily devotions, all right? Read some devotional books and keep yourself engaged and occupied in the Word of God. I'm not saying from sunrise to sunset you should be having a Bible in your hands, but you cannot let your Bible be put out of sight and out of mind during this period just because we're no longer gathering because of this COVID situation. Verse 10, Paul says that he is very anxious to come and supply what is lacking in their faith. because Paul only had a little time with them, and he had so much to instruct them, so much to build in them. And all these resources are necessary for them to stand strong and tall, especially in a crisis like what they are going through. And even in their general life, to interpret circumstances, to understand what is happening, to be able to handle problems and resolve issues, whether within or within the family or in the community, how they ought to relate one another. How are all these things going to work out unless they know the Word of God? They surely know how to go about in their own wisdom, in the secular way of doing things, in their own pragmatic ways, or even things that they have deducted from experience. But that's not good enough. What is important is, where is the basis for their notions, for their principles, for their paradigms? For it all has to come from the Word of God. Without the Word of God, just fellowship alone isn't going to do it, isn't going to cut it. That's why in Galilee we always say, even a simple excursion must always have a short moment of devotions. Without that, we're just a social group. So the Word of God is indispensable. Paul was profoundly concerned that the devil will take advantage of the crisis to distract the believers from growing in the Word, so that they will be strong in the faith. Satan is described as a tempter here, one who tries or tests the believers to a point that they will fail in their faith. This is his objective. Crisis. Any crisis has the potential to alter our priorities. Our attention and effort will be channeled to the temporal, immediate, and physical concern. Crisis strikes fear, disoriented our goals, and soon demote and devalue spiritual disciplines as the least of the priorities. This is the moment Satan is waiting for. In times of confusion, the devil creates chaos. He will sow doubts in the minds of the believers. It will cause you and I to imagine and create false notions of God. Soon your faith wavers, your walk becomes inconsistent to the Word, and in no time you will backslide far behind from your calling. Realizing the danger, Paul was impatient to wait further. In verse 11, he says that God will open a way, will make it possible. He called upon God and God the Father to open the way so that he could come and minister to them and to come soon to minister to the Thessalonian community of believers, to strengthen them in their faith through the teaching of God's Word. The Word of God is the anchor of our faith in time of crisis. There are lots and lots of people out there now at this very time, whether it's in Europe or even in Asia, where people are very discouraged. Some of the TV clippings, you know, video clippings that you would see on how what's happening in Europe, where there is nobody to bury the dead and people are dying by the scores, and testing aids not is sufficient, funds are not sufficient, and they have experts stretched to the max, and a lot of challenges, and people become very depressed. When you look at all those reports on the television, indeed you would feel no less discouraged. And this is the time people call to question the meaning of life, the purpose of life. Why are we even existing? Why is there this virus and why is there this pandemic situation? Why wouldn't somebody stop this? And not anyone have any answers to answer these questions. But as for Christians, brethren, the Lord already told us that in the last days, things are not going to be better. It's going to be tougher. It's going to be worse. If we think this is bad, can you imagine what is coming? And we have no clue what is coming. May God be merciful to us and to our next generation. All right, there are scores of issues that can create unimaginable troubles for us in the coming years. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. And what will hold us firmly in a time like this is the Word of God. In Psalm 32 verse 8, it says, "And I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I am very sure that in this period of time, we will have our own challenges. Our loved ones may be into some difficulties and problems. And we need to help each other up. And the other day, one of our regular worshippers called me up and he was talking about his financial crisis. He doesn't even have enough means to provide for his meals. And there are certain short changes that is happening and he doesn't know what to do. And he comes to ask for help. And these are people who worship with us. Not everybody is well provided for. Even in our community, there are people who are hurting, maybe hurting very quietly, and they're not talking about it. We need to be sensitive to the needs of such people and do what we can. In our present COVID-19 situation, the church has been doing her level best to ensure the word ministry continues. The word is the bread of life. Paul went on to highlight another aspect. He said, grow in love. Grow in love. It's very interesting. Why is he talking about growing in love? I thought he was already talking about the fellowship part, you know, how he wants to catch up with them and they want to see, isn't there love existing there? All right? He says, grow in love. Verses 11 and 12. May the Lord make you increase and abound. It's like, may your love be like an ocean, not only for one, but for all. Not just for one another, but for everyone. Let me explain. In a time of crisis, it is only natural for us to develop an acute, inward-looking perspective. Others and their plight may not enjoy priority in our eyes. In fact, it becomes an irritation, for we are working for ourselves on limited resources, plying around in the face of dangers, and trying to figure out solution to solve our own problems. Bible reminds us in Galatians 6, 9 to 10, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the same household of faith." Verse 11, he says, "For one another as well as for all." Brethren, the enrichment of God's word in us will draw us closer to God in midst of all earthly challenges, and at the same time, we will become unselfish people in Christ. We are called to care for believers in our community as well as others outside our believers' community. God said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And you and I know that the whole world doesn't receive Christ. You and I know that according to Ephesians chapter 2, that believers are predestined, called before even the foundation of the world. But it is also true that God loves every human being that are created in the image of God. So it is true that God loves the world. God also exercises special grace upon believers, and there is a common grace upon all men. We see that in Psalm 145 verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." As God's children, we must not only focus on believers and Christians and people of our church. When there's opportunity to minister beyond the doors of the church, we must not hesitate. We must take opportunity to do that. In fact, right at the moment, we are still working on the possibility, a project called How We Can Connect with the Neighborhood. And we are still perfecting some of these ideologies. And when this COVID situation is pretty much over, we're going to roll out that project, and we want to study and implement the ways we can engage our neighborhood. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 45, he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Can you imagine the Thessalonians? They are supposed to love the people who have brought great trouble to them. Jason is supposed to show love and still do kind things to people who has falsely charged him. It's not easy, isn't it? It's never easy. It's easy to hate, easy to think of revenge, easy to imagine God is going to just strike them death, you know, strike them dead where they are because of what they have done. But it's very difficult for us to love our enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise. This is common grace. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just as well as the unjust. How can we abound in love in a time like this? Let us be thoughtful of others and inquire their general well-being. Through WhatsApp chat, group chats, and any other platform of fellowship that we can work on or use to make this possible. If you know someone's needs, some kind of help the person may need, attend to it within your capacity, perhaps even invite others to join you in the good cause. In a time like this, there may be misunderstandings, misgivings between one another. Let us, for the sake of Calvary, exercise grace, kindness, love towards one another. Brethren, let us do well in this time of crisis in our relationship with God and with man. Paul reminded in the last verse, in verse 12, he said, "And the Lord make you to increase." And then in verse 13, he says, "To the end he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Paul is saying that in view of Christ's coming, let us be well-doing. When the Lord sees us, make sure that we have grown in fellowship with one another. We have grown in the Word of God. We have grown in love, right? Being kind to others. Let us be presentable. Let us be proud and not be ashamed to say that, you know, we did everything the opposite, everything that a natural man would do, rather than one who is saved by grace. So Paul was encouraging the Christians to do well. Keep the fellowship going and growing. Let us feed on the word and remain strong. Let us love one another. There should be no division or disunity among brethren. And the main culprit to cause such a thing is the devil, and the tool that he uses is pride. So may God help us in this time of COVID crisis, that we will not forsake the areas that we need to pay attention to.